हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे जय ओके सो देन Bhagavad Sundarbha Adhyayana 3 Adhikarna 5. So we're on Anucheda. Both types constitute, combined to constitute the four padas, right? So in other words, the three of the spiritual and the one of the material. Vichakrame, Vishan, Shasha Nanasane Ube, Yad Avidya Chavidya Cha Purushas, surpasses the two paths for enjoyment and renunciation. The Lord is the shelter of both paths, which produce avidya, as mentioning in the chapter Shloki, that for is valued by the living entity, that's also him. But at the same time, as he is a person, is beyond all that. So that's an important aspect, is that he is a person, he has his, what he does with his associates in that. Then you have, what is the situation in which is there, on which one, those who are associated with him take part in, who aren't associated with him directly take part in. You know, so therefore the path of enjoyment and the path of renunciation. So we're looking at it from our perspective, you know, from here, this side. Path of enjoyment means the material world. Path of renunciation means the spiritual world. Because within the material world, the path of enjoyment, whether it's Pravriti or Nivriti, they're both trying to enjoy. That's why the Mayavadis talk about Brahmananda. So for them, that ananda of Brahman, that's what they're trying to get to. So the whole situation that they're trying to create is only for the purpose that they can enjoy. They don't have any other purpose. So they're still enjoyers, though they enjoy by renouncing. And the others enjoy by having the facility. Like that. My video stopped, or?
Yeah, sorry, Marge. I was just trying to see if it would improve because the sound is really bad. I think maybe okay, you're too far away from the Wi-Fi.
Yeah, you could probably say 150 feet, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's try like this, and then otherwise we can see. I've just switched off the cameras for now.
Okay, because this is as good as it gets.
Okay.
Because they're supposed to install the Wi-Fi today, so right now we're just on the mercy of how good Airtel is providing. Yes. Okay. Okay. The Lord is... Okay. So they produce vidya and avidya and vidya. You can also look at it that you have... You know, from here, it's just renunciation because there's no desire for anything material. There's the other where you can look at it, at enjoyment and renunciation, meaning here. And then from enjoyment, that creates avidya because you get absorbed in the bodily concept. And then by detaching yourself from the material world, that creates vidya. So then that also can be a way that you look at it. The all-pervading Vishvan, Supreme Lord, Purusha, surpasses Vichakrame, the two paths of material and spiritual worlds for the jiva, Ete Shrishti. These paths are for enjoying fruits of karma and renouncing fruits of karma. Sachana nasane. There's the shelter of avidya or the chitshakti on these two paths. So he's the source, he's the shelter of everything. So when we start to appreciate how that the Lord's energies are creating situations in which the Lord can perform his pastimes in the company of the devotees, then it's appreciated that that's all that it's for. There is no other purpose for the Lord's expansion of energies. That's all it's for. So then the problem comes up is that we want to enjoy these shaktis on our own. In other words, our idea is if I interact with the jnana and kriya shaktis, then these jnana and kriya shaktis will give me ananda. So the ananda I'll get from myself interacting with the jnana and kriya shaktis. But what we don't understand is ananda comes from the Lord. He's ananda maya upyasad. He is the source of ananda. So yes, I mean, because he is the senses, he's the sense objects and everything, like we see in the Vishwarupa, that what he wanted to taste, then we have the tongue established, we have taste established, we have water established, that is the element that carries that. So all the things required for taste and things to be tasted, all that then is created by the Lord. So naturally within this, there'll be some taste because it's coming from him. He is ananda, he is taste. So therefore anything coming from him will have some degree of a taste in it. You know, it's that simple. And so, but the point is that the closer it gets to, in other words, what is his, when it's connected with him, through devotion with the devotees, that's what gives the actual taste. That's what gives the ananda. And so then, but at the same time, as we see with the jnana and kriya shaktis, they have their natural forms to support that ananda. In other words, Krishna wants another a particular kind of ananda. And so that particular kind of ananda then has circumstances and particular things. That combination, then you get rasa, right? Because that's the point, is that something is done. Like we saw in the nectar devotion, that you have these two features, that there's the attraction to Krishna, and then there's the desire to do some service for Krishna. That's what comes up. When you're dealing with the ashray and vishay, that's what comes up. So when the ashray and vishay interact, then there is the desire to render some service, not just the ecstasy that comes from that. So, you know, that's presented, that we see as we go, that they want to do something. Because the ecstasy, so he's the ultimate. So, of course, going to be wonderful. So then we take, so when the jnana and kriya are in the natural form, then that will give the highest taste on their own, right? And when they're not in the natural form, then the taste is lowered. And so we see that reflection means, because it's perfect. In the material world, when we have shaktis, shastra, the recommendations, then you're bringing the jnana and kriya situations closer to the spiritual world in serving Krishna. So it's to be following shastra. You know, and the Lord in that way, withstand, it's the Lord's direction, or you don't, you just accept shastra, then there's benefit it. So if you understand, please, the Lord, that gives the most, you understand, then that's, you know, that'll give them, I say, more. Then it gives a little bit. Happen to follow the recommendations of Shastra, though you don't know Shastra, it's just somehow or another you happen to, you know, by your previous karma from previously following, so you have that habit, then it will be something, but even less again. And then people who just make up whatever they like and do whatever they like, then they don't really get anything out of it. There's always the idea that, yes, I want this and I got this, so I'm happy. But actually with time and, you don't find there's no happiness. And others looking at it, it's very obvious there's no happiness. But in any case, the living entity, an illusion, likes to think that they're happy. You know, they may be miserable, but if someone else asks, you know, it's just like, let's say the rich man, he's miserable. You know, the family doesn't like him. There's so much trouble in the business and this and that and rivals. And he's miserable. But when he comes in front of the, you know, the camera or the, you know, the journalist or that comes and so, you know, so you have everything. So you must be, oh, yes, yes. He'll say that. Because, no one wants to be the idiot and not enjoying. So if you're idiot, if you're enjoying, then you're good. So there's the illusion of everybody's happy. Well, why are they trying something new? If you're happy, why does the fashion have to change every 6 months? If it's good, it's good. So it's just like, let's say, okay, so the point is Krishna's beyond, and so that the element that he's beyond, it can't be overemphasized, because the whole reason for material consciousness is that we have the idea that we can take the jnana and kriya aspects and enjoy them separately. But what we're not understanding is, one, that enjoyment is coming from him, because Krishna is enjoyment. And two, is that the quality of the jnana and kriya we're working with, it's being greater or lesser, is dependent upon how close it is to Krishna's liking. So when it's done in pure devotion, then it gives the best result. The jnana and kriya give the best result. If it's done according to scriptures, then it will give a good result. If it's done just haphazardly, happens to be according to scripture, but you don't know about scripture, that's not your intention, then it will still give something because it's in line with, but it's not, you won't get the, that, it won't be as much. If you just do whatever you like and don't consider the laws of nature, then you get the worst result. So the point is it's Krishna is the central feature of relationships. He's the central feature of everything. There isn't anything that's not based on him. So the idea that we might be able to enjoy separately from him is a misnomer, because the very things that we're trying to enjoy are him. And how are you going to enjoy something, him, if he's in control of it, and we're ignoring him, right? So therefore, in the spiritual world, even though the chit and jnana shaktis are there, he's still beyond that, because chit is taken care of by Balarama, and sat is taken care of by Vasudev. So he's beyond that. Krishna's beyond all this, because he's the source. It is then said, Yasmad andam viradhe, no virad, yagye bhutanendriya gunatmaka, tad dravyam at yagat vishvam gobhi surya ivat tapan. From the Lord, the universe was born. The Lord, possessing elements, senses, and gunas, after entering the universe, surpassed that material universe and remained in the spiritual world. Just as the sun illuminates the universe with its rays while remaining in his planet. Srimad Bhagavatam 2.6.22. Yeah. So even though he enters into it and that, he still remains in the spiritual world. So that would has the aspect that he's still in the spiritual world, even though he's expanded himself, and he's taking part in that position in the material world. And at the same time, we have the aspect of that he is always transcendental. So he's always interacting with his internal potency. The internal potency is then what is a transforming, right? Thus, the four padas consist of three parts with all the Lord's qualities and one part with partial qualities manifest. So the three parts, because everyone's doing everything perfectly to please Krishna, then it's always, it always has all the qualities manifest. But the material world, they're only partially manifest, because one is that, you know, unless it's in line with Krishna to please Krishna and pure devotion, then it will have those transcendental qualities. Otherwise, to that degree, what you're externally close to, then it starts to go down. Brahma thus spoke to Narada. Vriti thus, we got a problem here. Vriti thus ends the current Adhikarna, which describes the eternality and opulence of the Lord's abode, and the transcendental qualities of the associates of the Lord who reside in his abode. This ends the Adhyaya, further analysis of the transcendental nature of the Lord's Sarup. So that's the overall Adhyaya, summary of the Adhyaya. The current Adhyaya discusses various aspects of the transcendental form of the Lord known as Sri Vigraha. First, the eternality of the deity form and his worship is discussed by citing from scriptures, which says that the Lord alone remains after the annihilation of the entire material creation. Next, the supernatural power of the Bhagawan's personal medium-sized form, Sri Krishna, who is the source and shelter of all the other expansions and incarnations, is substantiated by elaborating on his supreme omnipotency and all-pervading features. Through the realizations of Lord Brahma and Narad Muni. After that is established that the transcendental attributes of the Lord, such as names, forms, qualities, and activities, are all eternal, and the need for their expression is detailed. Then it is proved that realizing the Sri Vigraha form of the Lord, which naturally possesses various transcendental attributes, is the highest goal of life by showing how the Sarupa of the Lord is complete and spotless. Finally, the non-difference of the Lord's paraphernalia, his abode, and his associates from his Sarup is affirmed. Thus, this Adhyaya establishes the supreme position of the form of Bhagavan. And the next Adhyaya draws a comparison between the Brahman and Bhagavan aspects of the absolute truth to reiterate the supremacy of Bhagavan. Right, so then we've established that the Lord is transcendental. He's beyond the creation. And being beyond the creation, then we see is that he's always transcendental. Then we're showing that of all these transcendental positions, then Sri Krishna is that supreme transcendental. And then him and his paraphernalia, his place, his associates, they're also all transcendental. So therefore, the topmost position is being in service in relationship to the Lord in pure devotion. Yes? No? Kind of? Okay, so now we go on to the study guide, part 3, Anuchedas 86 through 122. Okay. Okay, so Adhyayana 4, then we have Anuchedas 86 to 122, superiority of Bhagavan established. Adhikarna 1, the fullness of Bhagavan. Adhikarna 2, Brahman is an amsha of Bhagavan. Adhikarna 3, Bhagavan is described as superior to Brahman by enumeration. Adhikarna 4, Bhagavan is the chief meaning of the word Brahman. Adhikarna 5, Bhagavan is the object of Vedic knowledge. Adhikarna 6, the personal potencies of Lord, Adhikarna 7, Bhagawan is realized only by the process of bhakti. Then we have it from the Sri Tattva Sutra, chapter 1 summary. So you see is that up to this point has been establishing the supremacy of the Lord and the transcendental nature of him and everything. Then we're going to, having established that, then we can look back at everything else and how they all connect to the Lord. But, and it's only through bhakti that the Lord can be appreciated.
All right.
Yes. Huh.
This ends the Bhagavad Sandharma?
No, it means this part, yes. When we finish this book, we're finished with that. Then we go on to Paramatma Sandharva. So that kind of, you know, we're basically as we go, we're more familiar with the kind of concepts. Because the first two, the Tattva and the Bhagavat, then the difficulty comes is that we're not used to authority being something other than what we think or what we feel. So the Tattva Sandharva then is, you know, bringing about the shocking news that we're not actually the supreme absolute, knower of everything. Then the next is that how Krishna, he's pervading everything and everything's him. So everything's connected to him, you know, and then he's beyond that. So we're used to the thing that he's beyond, but not how he is everything. And because of that, we have a tendency to deal with everything in the material world in a way that is the way we like, rather than if it's all him, then how we're dealing with it should be according to how Krishna likes. You know, it's just like you have something and you have whatever you're feeling and you throw it, you know, like that, and it gets damaged. And that's because the point is that thing is Krishna. You deal improperly, you get a bad result. You know, so therefore, one has to start to see is that there's no question of not dealing with Krishna's energy as Krishna pleases, because otherwise, if we don't, we won't get any good result. It just won't happen. You know? Does that make sense? You know, you can't drop the glass, you know, on the floor and it'll bounce and come back up into your hand. You know, it's just not going to happen. So the whole point is because Krishna, he's the nature of glass. He's the nature of what a glass is for, you know? And so that's why then it would be there. It's there. It's a piece of glass that you can use in your hand, you know? But let's say the glass in the window, Krishna's still that, but it has a different function. That's for seeing. You know, so the one you're keeping clean so you see. The other one you're keeping clean because then you're going to be eating from it. Or also, when it's clean, it looks nice, it's more attractive, you feel more inspired to eat. You know, so one has to appreciate that all this is Krishna. So all these different discussions about, oh, we don't have to do this, we don't have to do that. The point is it's Krishna is the laws. So the laws are there to please him. So what are you doing to please Krishna? Because we can say as, oh, we don't have to do all these things, but what's your alternative? Why are you doing it in an alternative way? Saying that, oh, the laws of nature don't function anymore. So therefore I have to make up the laws and do it however I want. But that's bogus. Does that make sense? So by establishing, that's the thing that the Bhagavad Sandharva will be establishing, that it's all Krishna. And it all has to be seen in connection with Krishna. But to know Krishna, the person, you know, who's beyond all this, is only through bhakti. Does that make sense? Yeah? Okay. So, Adhyayana 4, superiority of Bhagavan established. Anuchedas 86 through 122. Adhyaya Prakashika. Having described the variety in the manifestation of the abode of the Lord, his associates and his paraphernalia, next it is shown that Bhagavan, who is the source and shelter of this transcendental variegatedness, is more intense tattva than Brahman. right? Because otherwise he is everything, but they'll take everything as equal. But no, there's a difference. So he is going to be the supreme. That means he's the supreme manifestation of the supreme. Paramatma will be the next down, and then Bhagavan, Brahman will be the lesser. They're all supreme. Some people, such as the Brahmavadis, etc., though seemingly accept the form of Bhagavan, still opine that one realizes the highest bliss through oneness of the Upadi, the form of the Lord, with Brahman, rather than realizing the Lord's fragrance, etc. Separately, in order to refute such misconceptions, Srila Jiva Goswami next substantiates how the realization of the form of Bhagavan, along with the transcendental variegatedness of his abode and qualities, is superior to non-differentiated Brahman. Right? Because we have to make this distinction here, because we see it in the 11th canto. Then the great sages, the great jnanis, are being glorified because in these personalities, they accept the form of the Lord. But the difference will be between those jnanis who are devotees and those jnanis who are not, is that the ones who are the devotees will accept that the form of the Lord is the highest manifestation of the supreme, and therefore giving the highest pleasure. While others, they accept the form of the Lord as transcendental and all that, but they're seeing that just that appreciating the all-pervadingness or all these, you know, these kind of qualities, that these are the ones that give the best taste. And so even though they are, and you can say in one sense they're devotees, but at the same time as that taste of the all-pervading aspect and those qualities, though they may see them connected to the Lord, then takes more of a prominence for them. So, and then you have those who are impersonalists have that same thing, but it's all about the impersonalist supreme. So it's just a matter of, then it comes down from there. Then there's the ones that don't accept the form of the Lord, they're impersonalists, and so then they'll be lower than that. You know, but they're following Shastra and everything, then there's going to be, you know, like modern day, the impersonalists, but they don't even follow Shastra and all that. So they're a real write-off, these guys. Yeah? First, the author establishes the fullness of Bhagavan, who is the very form of intense bliss and who is complete in all respects, and also focuses on the difference between the Brahman realization, which is incomplete because of deficiency in the worshipper's qualification. Right? Because the reason you'd be absorbed in Brahman realization as the prominent is a deficiency in who's worshiping. It's not a deficiency in the Lord. It's a deficiency in who's worshiping. Therefore, they can only taste up to a certain amount, which is incomplete because, okay, and Bhagavan realization, which is complete. And he thereby proves that the realization of Bhagavan is superior to that of Brahman. This is demonstrated by citing the realization of great sages like Kumaras, Narad Muni, and Kardama Muni. Right? So they all deal with these platforms. And so they would be the authorities to say that there's the difference with that. After this is shown, the realization of Brahman is not independent of Bhagavan realization by proving that Brahman aspect is an inseparable part of Bhagavan, having shown that Brahman is an amsa of Bhagavan and therefore inferior to him. Next, the scriptural quotations are enlisted to clearly demonstrate that Bhagavan is the master of Brahman and thus is superior. Having been defeated in their attempt to prove Nirvishesha Brahman, Brahman with no qualities, as the highest truth, the Mayavadis may elude from further discussion by saying scriptures contain verses which glorify the absolute truth by using the word Brahman without referring to the word Bhagavan. Therefore, the quotations which refer Bhagavan aspect as superior should be assumed contextual references only. Right, so they're going to say that, well, that's the context. When you're dealing with the devotee, of course, he's going to say that. Just like, let's say, in the when you're dealing with the scriptures on music, they'll say it's the most important of all the shastras. You know, and then when you have the one on Ayurveda, it'll say it's the most important. One who knows this knows, you know, like that. Then there's going to be some another one that it's on grammar. Oh, if you know this, then you know everything. So the point is from the perspective of the person who's involved in it, then they appreciate an aspect more than other because of their nature. So for them, yes, that is the superior knowledge for them. But it all has to be in line with the apara vidya, with the para vidya, the transcendental knowledge. So they're saying, well, it's like that, you know, because they're taking it that the form is a transformation of goodness. And so then is material. So it can't be as high as the undifferentiated Brahman. So this becomes a problem because they can't distinguish because of being covered by the avidya shakti, right? They're taking a Brahman is covered by avidya, and so therefore you get jiva. And then by understanding that, then they go back to their natural position. But trying to understand this without understanding Bhagavan, they themselves are still under the avidya shakti. Just they're dealing with the transformation of goodness as opposed to passion and ignorance. So they never get out of the avidya shakti. You know, they just rise to the upper levels of it. You know, like, you know, you might be in the prison and you might be on the third floor where you get a nice breeze or something, but you're still in prison. Okay, so they're trying to then say, oh, but it's just the context. It's not actually, you know, the supreme. In order to put an end to such propositions, the author explains that Bhagavan is the chief meaning of the word Brahman. The word Brahman means supremely great. According to the consciousness of the worshiper, Brahman can have different meanings. But out of all these meanings, the chief meaning is Bhagavan, because only the Supreme Lord, Sri Vishnu, is unlimitedly great in all aspects. And the word Brahman is used aptly to describe his possession of all qualities. Hence, the concept of absolute truth with no form and qualities is, right? It doesn't exist. We can say, when it says he has no qualities,
Hi, Krishna Maharaj. You're on mute. You're on mute, Maharaj.
We're having problems again?
Yes, it went a little funny, but it's better now. So let's see.
Oh, it does that echoey thingy. So what are we on here? I have two bars.
Mm-hmm. It's better now, Marge.
Okay. 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 Hence, the concepts of absolute truth with no form and qualities is illusory. Right? They just like it to be like that because it's like this. If I'm upset with something or someone or some place, I don't want to have anything to do with it. So I want my happiness to be separate from that. You know, let's say I would go with friends to, let's say, a particular restaurant to eat. And, you know, it's where everything works very nicely. And that, but let's say something happens there and you get into an argument with somebody or something happens there. So now you decide that I'm going to be happy going to a different restaurant without any of these friends. And so that's what we're dealing with here. It's just the negative. It's not positive. So it's only when you're dealing technically with Bhagavan that you get into the actual positive. You know, it means Brahman is negative. We're negating what's of this material world and what's left, then that's Brahman. And then Paramatma, we're accepting, okay, his authority, but it still doesn't have that dynamic personal aspect. But then Bhagavan, then that is personal, that's dynamic. Having thus instituted Bhagavan as the ultimate reality and the highest realization of the absolute truth. Next, in order to further insist on this point, the author establishes Bhagavan as the object of all Vedic knowledge, right? So you've established that the word Brahman means Bhagavan, because Brahman simply means the supreme. So of all the levels of supreme, Bhagavan is the topmost. And then, because you want to take it even further, is that all means... So that is then anywhere it mentions Bhagavan, anywhere it mentions Paramatma, anywhere it mentions Brahman, then all this is just meaning Bhagavan. And maybe a bit, yeah, and his features, but it's still him that's the supreme. Then you're going to take it a step further that all the Vedic literatures and all whatever they're discussing the relationship with the Supreme Lord. So the object of all Vedic knowledge, even you're looking at Ayurveda or anything like that, it's still going to be Krishna. There's not something else like that. Srimad Bhagavatam, the essence and summit of all the Vedic literature, states succinctly the essence of all the Vedic knowledge in the form of four verses known as the Chatushloki Bhagavatam. In the first and second verses of the Chatushloki, the Lord's qualities, which are the subject of knowledge and realization, are explained. In the third verse, the secret of prema, love of Godhead, is elaborated. In the fourth verse, the qualification for obtaining this prema is stated. Hence, Srimad Bhagavatam establishes very clearly that Bhagavan is the goal of all Vedic knowledge. All the other Vedic scriptures corroborate with this principle enunciated in the Bhagavatam. As stated in the Brahma Tarka, Sarva Vedan Setihasan Sa Puranan Sa Yukikan Sa Pancharatran Vigyaya Vishnur Gayo Na Chanyata. Understanding all the Vedas, Itihasas, Puranas, all logic and Pancharatric scriptures, Vishnu alone is to be known. All the Shrutis, by their various literal and metaphorical references, ultimately describe the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Godhead's identity, personal qualities, and power. And the Shrutis are endowed with this ability to describe the unlimited Supreme Lord by the Chit-Shakti of the Lord. So it's by the Chit-Shakti that the Shrutis are able to explain, right? Because you have all the Shrutis personified. So it's being blessed by the internal potency, then they can describe about the Lord. And then you can describe about him in the context of all the various situations and activities and knowledge that there is available to the human being. And so how he connects with everything, just that they're getting in down into the detail. And so, you know, detail is a lot of detail. So that will take, a lot of volume, but it doesn't mean that still doesn't connect to the Lord. All the Shrutis, by their various literal and metaphorical references, ultimately describe the Supreme Personality of Godhead's identity, personal qualities, and powers. And the Shrutis are endowed with this ability to describe the unlimited Supreme Lord by the Chit-Shakti of the Lord. Having thus thoroughly established the Sarupa Bhagavan as the highest aspect of the Absolute Truth. Next, the functions of various Shaktis of the Lord are enumerated to illuminate on the inconceivable nature of the Shaktis of the Lord. Which are non-different from his sarup, right? Because we mentioned before is all these expansions that we see, but the energies themselves are all non-different. Finally, in conclusion, the qualifications of the jivas to attain the realization of Bhagavan is discussed, right? Because we said before, having only Brahman or Paramatma realization is incomplete. So that means it's a disqualification or a lack of qualification in the individual living entity. It is stated by the Lord, stated that the Lord is understood and realized by the wise devotees who practice the process of bhakti. And others who are ignorant and under the clutches of the modes cannot see or understand him. So now, and this is in this adhyaya. So Adhikarana 1, Anucheda's Anuchedas 86 to 94, the fullness of Bhagavan, Adikarna 2, Anuchedas 95 to 98, Brahman is an amsa of Bhagavan, Adikarna 3, Anuchedas 99 and 100, Bhagavan is described as superior to Brahman by enumeration, Adikarna 4, Anucheda 101, Bhagavan is the chief meaning of the word Brahman, right? So we should catch this very clearly when we're trying to study anything like that, because the basis of something, whatever is the beginning knowledge that you have, then that's going to be the basis of everything else that's there. So we see here that when you're studying the knowledge, you know, generally is somehow or another as the opening of the course, then it is always called, you know, whatever is the basis so that you can do the rest of the study. It's always called 101, right? So here, Bhagavan is the chief meaning of the word Brahman. So that is, you know, this, how you say, you know, position of Bhagavan 101, right? Okay. Anuchedas 102 to 117. Bhagavan is the objective of Vedic knowledge. Anuchedas 118 and 19, the personal potencies of Lord, and 120 through 22, Bhagavan is realized only by the process of bhakti.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Yes.
I want to make sure. So when we speak about Brahman, I think there are different personality who are Brahman, Jiva and like that. And when we speak about Bhagavan, can we say that Bhagavan is a supreme Brahman? Is equivalent.
Yes. Means the Brahma Jyoti is also supreme, but more supreme than that is Paramatma. Most supreme is Bhagavan. So Bhagavan is that's why he says the supreme personality of Godhead. Right? Then you're going to have personality of Godhead, and then you're just going to have the glories of that of Godhead, how his qualities are expanding.
Yes.
So, and then inferior to him as Brahman is going to be, less than him is going to be his internal potency. Less than that are going to be the jivas, and less than that will be the material manifestation. Yes. But there isn't anything that's not Krishna. But in the context that we're saying here, then we're talking between Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. So the personality of Godhead is the supreme manifestation of Brahman. Because Brahman means the greatest.
Yes. And Maharaj, only devotee can understand that level.
Yes. That's the conclusion of the Bhagavad Sandarbha in the Adikarna 7. Bhagavan is realized only by the process of bhakti. Without bhakti, you can't understand this. Yes. So that's why even the great sages and other things like that, unless they have the association of devotees, in which, in that association, they become touched by devotional service, because of the mercy of the devotees, and gain the Lord's mercy, only then can they understand the Lord. Otherwise, even though they're so intelligent, we're talking these ones that, you know, that just they live forever, you know, they have all the knowledge, they can see past, present, and future, but it doesn't matter if they haven't gotten the mercy of the devotees, they will not know the Lord. That's what is it? You know, the one with Rajobhishekam, the last is the end of the verse. You know that, but Ruhuganai tat tapasa nayati. You know that verse. Just you're not going to know it. So people as qualified as that can't know. Then why would these measly academics be able to understand, or logicians, or philanthropists, or just, you know, religionists like this? Because without they have such good material qualifications and they can't know, because Krishna is the source of knowledge. He's the source of the vidya and avidya shaktis. So he's beyond that. So if he's the source of them, they can't reveal him. He reveals himself maybe through his vidya shakti, but it's still he has to reveal himself because he's beyond, right? You know, it's just like, let's say we're in a room, and by studying the room, we can't know the person outside the room. You can get an idea, you know, like that, you know, okay, there's this paraphernalia, there's that, and so this, that, but unless they reveal themselves, you know, by coming into the room, you are not going to know, you know? So that's the whole thing, by your knowledge, by your sentiment, by by money, by endeavor, by renunciation, by charity, by studying the scriptures, by varnasham, none of these will reveal the Lord. It's only when it's in the association of devotees, there's devotion, then you can know the Lord. It's that, just that simple. That's why all these greatly intelligent people don't know the Lord, even though they're so qualified. I mean, how renounced they are, how much they study. Like you see Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is pointing out that as a sannyasi, then he should be incessantly studying Vedanta Sutra to keep himself from being entangled in the material, you know, in material life. And so that's the difficulty, is they don't understand, he's not understanding the transcendental position of the Lord. Is that okay?
Yes.
Yes. So therefore, that's the one point that Jiva Goswami means. That's one of the first ones that'll be done, is to establish that the word Brahman means Bhagavan. The word Bhagavan means Bhagavan. The word Paramatma means Bhagavan. You know, because it's Bhagavan who's doing all that, though through his expansions, but the expansions are non-different. But they're non-different from Bhagavan. That Bhagavan's non-different from Brahman. You have to know which way it goes. You know, it's like that you know, age-old question, you know, which comes first, the Bhagavan or the Brahman, you know, like that. And so that's the point. You have to understand it's Bhagavan, it's the source of Brahman. Is that okay?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. So Adhikarana 1, the fullness of Bhagavan, Anuchedas 86 to 94. Adhikarana Prakashika. In this Adhikarana, the author establishes the superiority of Bhagavan over Brahman by drawing a comparative analysis between Brahman and Bhagavan aspects of the Supreme Truth. Hence, it's called the Bhagavat Sandarbha. At the same time, it's trying to establish the position of Brahman. Right? So Brahman in context of the Lord, having established that, then Paramatma is seen in the context of the Lord, right? But it's the Lord, yeah, like that. Wherein he substantiates that realization of Bhagavan, who is full of transcendental variety and intense bliss, is higher than that of his impersonal effulgence, Brahman, which lacks this variety and bliss, though it possesses unlimited greatness. This is testified through the realizations of the great sages, such as the Chatush Kumars, Narad Muni, and Kardama Muni, etc. Right. So Brahman simply means the greatest. So of Brahman, you're going to have Brahma Jyoti, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. So Bhagavan is the highest form of Brahman, of the greatness of Brahman, because the intensity, the fullness, is greater. First, in the Anucheda 86, the author, Srila Jiva Goswami, cites the realization of Chatush Kumaras from the third canto of Bhagavatam, the Kumaras who are fixed in realization of Brahman, after gaining the vision of the Lord's personal form, attain much greater pleasure than meditation on impersonal Brahman, so much so that they were completely overwhelmed by intense bliss. They got confused as to which Anga of the Lord they should see first, because each part of the Lord's body filled their hearts with complete bliss, and even the aroma of the Lord's paraphernalia caused the transcendental agitations in their mind. But I mean, what a dilemma. You don't know which part of the Lord to look at first, because each part is so wonderful. Now that's a good dilemma, right? Also, they were very pleased to see the smiling face of the Lord, which is filled with his mercy. The Kumaras said, O Lord of unlimited qualities, he who resides in the heart, invisible to the sinful, today has been seen by our eyes. When your secret nature was described previously by Brahma, who was born from you, it entered our intelligence through the ears, Srimad Bhagavatam 3:15:46. Thus, the Kumaras acknowledge that they could envision the Lord's beautiful form only because they have heard about his qualities and pastimes from Lord Brahma, right, from the devotee. Hence, it can be concluded that the realization of the transcendental variegatedness is a rare prerogative, accessible only to the pure devotees of the Lord, who practice the process of devotional service, beginning with hearing and chanting. After they directly envisioned the Lord's form, the Kumaras had no interest in impersonal feature of the Lord, as they are ready to go to hell for the offense of cursing the Lord's doorkeepers. They only desire to remain the servant of the Lord eternally. Therefore, from the realizations of the Chatus Kumaras, it can be concluded that the bliss of realization of Bhagavan is more intense than to that of Brahman, right? So we can see is that the different parts of the body, each one is the intensity so much, and then his face is the, you know, the most wonderful. So the intensity of Brahman will be much less than this. Thus, according to the difference in visual power of the person, there is difference in the Lord's manifestation, of which one vision is incomplete, manifesting the object without particulars, Brahman. And the other vision is complete, manifesting a form with various qualities arising from the Swarup, Bhagavan. Right? Because if you understand these two, then Paramatma is in between. This difference is described in the conversation of Narad and Vyas. Narad Muni, while instructing Vyas, says that without describing the Lord, and consequently without worshiping the Lord is not pleased with dry Brahma Gyan, because this Gyan, which destroys Upadis, is none other than Brahman. Right? Because the jnana of being transcendental is Brahman. It's not something else. So that's the position that's there, is that the Brahman that we're used to, I mean, is that it is the Vidya Shakti, right? Because we see is that the Vidya Shakti, the Lord of it is Vasudev, and then Vasudev expands as Shankarshan, he expands as Mahavishnu. And then you see the whole manifestation is there. So he is actually the Lord of the Brahman aspect, the unlimited aspect. Then you have Shankarshan, an expansion of Shankarshan, then you get Shiva. So in the material world, you know, Shiva is known as the controller of the aspect of Brahman. But he can't give liberation. That's still controlled by Krishna. So unfortunately, not understanding this, then so many of the impersonalists, they take shelter of Lord Shiva, hoping to become liberated. But it's only if you take shelter of Mukunda that you can get liberated. So we see these three features like this. So that's the... Okay. Okay. The Lord is not pleased with dry Brahma Gyan because this Gyan which destroys Upadis is none other than Brahman. If devoid of bhakti to Achyuta, is not glorious at all. It is not suitable as a complete realization. So compared to Bhagavan, it's not glorious. Compared to the material world, it's glorious. So it's just a matter of where you're comparing, which measurement you're using. So if we're using the measurement of transcendence, then we're going to put Brahman realization is not that fabulous. It's simply the situation. Like, you know, you're sitting in you're situated on the floor, you know, in your room, and on that there's a chair, and on that then you're sitting. So no one puts that much attention to the floor. Of course you have to have a floor. So, of course, everybody in the spiritual world is situated on the transcendental platform because that Krishna is Sat Chit Ananda. So that Sat aspect is the existence of everything. But its existence, that's not the glory. The glory is in that existence, then they're performing, engaging the senses and activities to please Krishna. That's the glory. Yeah? So it's not a complete realization. So it's a lack of qualification of the viewer. That's also then from another aspect why we follow in the footsteps of the acharyas, because by our own endeavor, how much are we going to know? So we see is that Krishna has, depending upon the devotion, is more and more complete manifestation or intensity of the manifestation of himself. And so we see that greatest intensity then is in Vrindavan. Then of that, then with the gopis, and with that, with Radharani and her associates. So therefore we have to see Krishna from that perspective of the Brajabasis. And we see even those who are not Brajabasis, they're from Dwarka and other, they appreciate that position because theirs is understood to be the greatest. The intensity is the greatest. That surrender is the greatest. So there's that must be appreciated. That's why we follow in the footsteps of the devotees. That's why you have the paramparas as a you know, the generic rule, and then within that it gets more and more refined. But without following the devotees, like the Kumaras, they are switching from the one lesser realization to a higher because they have heard from Brahma, who is a devotee. That's just the way it is.
Maharaj?
Yes.
So can we say that the Acharya, they all come from the spiritual world? They are all associated
yes.
to Krishna.
Yes.
And so they are only presenting pure bhakti.
Yes. That's why because we won't know what to do and not do. And we see, and we may not have that full realization, but we see is that Lord Chaitanya is come to preach, to give everyone the opportunity to come in contact with this knowledge about Krishna. Therefore, then you can have that. We don't have, may not have that realization of that complete perfect knowledge, but the Acharyas do. That's why then we just speak according to what the Acharyas give. You know, it doesn't matter what anybody else says, because the point is you want to please Krishna and go back to Godhead. That can only be done through bhakti. Then that, you know, is coming from the platform of purity, you know, that Vishuddha Sattva. That's only had by the Acharyas. They know that. So we can give relevant instruction. So the point is someone can be a preacher, someone can be a leader, someone can be a guru, because they give relevant instruction based on Srila Prabhupada's instructions, and, you know, and appreciating then what is being coming down from the Acharyas. So that's the qualification. Because otherwise, then if everybody had to, in their own personal realization, be an Uttamadhikari, then who knows when they'll come to that platform and when they're going to be coming and taking care of you. So in other ages, they come in contact with Guru, they contemplate, you see, you know, it's like, you know, in the beginning with the Prajapatis, then it wasn't uncommon for the Prajapati to go off having heard, you know, the knowledge. They go off and then meditate for 60,000 years. Then they become self-realized. They come to that Brahma-Bhuta platform. Then they take up practical bhakti. And then they, you know, then they have their children and everything like that, you know, as Prajapatis. So if that was our process, who knows when we'd get there? You know, because there's a lot, it means even we live 100 years, there's a lot of 100 years in 60,000 years. You know, so that means 60,000 times 10. So 600,000 lifetimes to get to that position. You know, and that's saying you're meditating the whole 100 years. So then you're going to have the thing where you're going to waste, you know, as Prahlad Maharaj says, you know, you're going to, half of your life is spent sleeping. Okay, so that leaves you 50 years. Then of that, the first 10 years, you know, or 20 years, you're just playing. So that's lost. And then the last 20 years, that's lost. So now you have 10 years, you know, and that's spent, you know, just in distinction, adoration, and profit, and trying to get money and this and that. So everything's gone. So you can't guarantee. So it's not a great... one shouldn't take that as a thing. So that's the perfection of in the Kali Yuga that Lord Chaitanya comes and preaches. The newest devotee can preach according to what they've appreciated, what they've heard from authorities, and make their what they're speaking relevant to the person that they're talking to. And you see, people who've only been a devotee for some days or weeks can make other people devotees. So that means that the chit potency is being transmitted. So that's the whole point. That's the glory. So they're when they're doing that, then they're acting on the platform like an uttamadhikari, though their personal realization may not be. So then one should not say, oh, well, unless they're personally an uttamadhikari, I can't surrender. But the point is who are we? Even Kanista might be a long shot. You know, so that's the specialty that we see is that the qualification is necessary. So we have to follow those who have the highest qualifications. Therefore, we're raganugas. Those devotees with rag, we follow them. Who has that rag? The Brajbasis. Right, so then we want to follow them. That's the important thing. Does that make sense? But so we have all the technical points of the philosophy, but ultimately all that is for the purpose of being able to surrender to Krishna. That's the only purpose of it, you know. So, yes, and then why? Because then we contemplate, we can have realizations, we can explain it to others in their situation, you know. That's why different devotees, they may, you know, excel in different areas of preaching, because they can make the Krishna consciousness relevant to individuals within that context. Point is speaking the absolute truth is always relevant. It's always perfect. But because of our understanding, then how we'll speak, the context with what we'll do, the examples we'll give, the attitude, then we work good with certain people. That's why you see somebody works in one area, somebody works in another area, and it's all perfect. You know, somebody will manage for Krishna, someone will do book distribution, someone else is doing deity worship, someone else is, you know, working at the restaurant, you know, someone's just cleaning the temple. But each one of them can do, and each one of them can explain in their own area. Like one devotee was saying how someone came into the temple, and so when they came into the temple, it was a festival. So then they got the temple commander then told them talk to this guy, right? And that devotee was basically doing decoration. So that's what he was doing. And he engaged that guest in helping decorate. And in so doing, then he would explain things and all that. And so that guest became a devotee. You know, and he's just talking to the guy who's doing decoration. So that's the point. He could come in, he could relate, he could do. So that's the... Is that okay? Yeah? Okay. Also in the story, Also in the story of Kardama Muni. Oh no, we're already, time's up now. So we'll continue this then tomorrow, and then we'll, yes. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai.